So today is kind of a special day in the church calendar. It's Pentecost Sunday. And Pentecost Sunday is kind of a big deal because it is essentially an event that happened over 2,000 years ago and is the beginning of the church as we know it. And it was this special event where the disciples, after Jesus had died, had risen again, and had ascended into heaven, he promised this Holy Spirit, this counselor that would come and would indwell them and empower them, and that they were waiting for this moment that Jesus was telling them to wait for. And they were in this room, and the wind suddenly, it was like a rushing wind filled the room, but it wasn't wind. And there were tongues of fire that came down from heaven. It looked like tongues of fire coming down and resting on people that were in the room. And then they started to speak in other languages and were able to understand other languages suddenly without ever studying those languages or knowing those languages. And out of that came this beautiful missionary journey of Jesus, the message of Jesus spreading throughout nations, and people becoming Christians and people following Jesus and people being indwelled by the Holy Spirit. And there was this beautiful movement called the church, this beautiful movement called the gospel of Jesus Christ, reaching communities, reaching people, and they gather together to worship God and experience the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit brings light into our lives and gives us purpose and mission and vision that goes beyond our human limitations. And we need to remember that, because sometimes we downplay the work of the Holy Spirit within our lives. We downplay the Holy Spirit's work within our church and in our communities. And yet, when we recognize the power of the Holy Spirit, it goes beyond our own limitations. And today in Ephesians, Paul, with the assumption of the Holy Spirit's power in our lives, helps us to embrace the light of Jesus in our lives and as a community. And so last week we talked about light in the darkness in our personal lives. Now we've got light and darkness in community with the empowerment and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our church. So Ephesians chapter 5 is what we're looking at, verses 11 to 20. Now, here's a preamble for next week. I'm going to mess with things a little bit for next week, because you remember Ephesians 5 is that controversial passage that is often spoken about, often preached at weddings and in different events about wives submitting to husbands and husbands loving their wives and all those sorts of things. And so I'm going to be talking about that next week, and it might challenge our assumptions a little bit. Because here at Grace Point, we're part of a movement called the Church of God, which is based out of Anderson, Indiana. It's an egalitarian movement where we ordain women. Most denominations don't do that. And so we're going to unpack that a little bit and look at what Scripture says, what scholars say, and be able to understand it on Father's Day. So hopefully it'll boost your Father's Day a little bit more, but just a pre-warning about that one. But this week we're talking about light in darkness, and what we're called to as Christians, as followers of Jesus, to be light in darkness. So let's read starting at verse 11. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand the Lord, what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there's a contrast between light and darkness in our lives and communities. And sometimes we don't even necessarily notice it. But as we live in the Holy Spirit, the darkness in and around us loses power, and the light breaks in to get rid of the darkness. Because where there is light, there is no darkness. So the first few verses there have nothing to do with fruitless deeds and of darkness, but rather exposed them. And shameful even to mention what disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible. And everything that is illuminated becomes a light. That is why, as it said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. You see, it is our job. God calls us. Paul is talking about how God calls us to expose darkness, to invite light into our lives, but also to expose the darkness that exists within us. And we need to look into our own lives and examine our own lives and invite God to examine our own lives to expose the darkness that lies within. First of all, by just acknowledging that there may be darkness, acknowledging that there may be sin within our lives, acknowledging that there are times and instances and situations where I messed up. And then not just to acknowledge, but to confess that sin, confess those mistakes to God every single time, to confess those sins to God every single time. And it brings a healing and a forgiveness and a restoration and a renewal in our lives. And it's very important for us to do that, to bring those sins before God. And sometimes it's important for us to have accountability within our lives. Now, of course, accountability before God and for God to God, help me to change. Help me to be transformed. Help me to be renewed within my life so I don't make those same mistakes over and over and over and over again and have to keep coming back to you to confess those sins. But help my heart and my will and my mind to align with what I want and what you want for me. God, help me. Hold me accountable. And there's times also where we need to involve others who we trust to hold us accountable in certain areas within our lives. Hey, I really struggle with this. Can you help me? Can you ask me once in a while, hey, how's it going? And hold me accountable and pray for me and pray with me. Not somebody who's going to put a whole bunch of shame, guilt, and fear into your life. That's not accountability. That's just judgment. You don't need someone in your life to judge you, but you need someone in your life to encourage you, to nudge you once in a while, but not judge you. And then also, sometimes what is also important for us to remember is that bringing light into darkness within our own lives is a call to action as well. Action of sometimes we need to make amends with God, but also make amends with other people for the mistakes we've made. Sometimes we need to work towards fixing things or fixing relationships that are part of our mistakes and our sins. And it's also a very, very much a call to action to repent, because repenting is, I've said this many times throughout the last 2 years, 2.5 years that I've been your pastor, is that repent means walking away. That's an action item, isn't it? That's a point of action where we turn away from our sin and we walk towards God. And that's the action that he is calling us to pursue God within our lives. So that is exposing the darkness within me, but there's also exposing the darkness around me. And this is a little bit different, isn't it? Because it requires something that we talked about recently, which is about truth and love. Bringing truth and love to conversation, truth and love to relationships, to community, which means that we're following Jesus. And if we follow the example of Jesus, we speak truth. We speak God's truth. We speak the truth. But we also do it with love. And we try to balance these two items within our lives as we call out and we speak into the darkness that there is around us. And we're not trying to call others out, but call others into a relationship with Jesus. Call others in to a life with Jesus. Call others into behaviors that align with the life that we want to have with Jesus. But not calling them out without love, but a balance of truth and love that draws people, invites people to step closer to Jesus. And so when it comes to things like exposing darkness, particularly darkness that is outside of us, darkness around us, that we need to discern the right time. Is this going to be, are these words, is this calling in to other people with truth and love, speaking that truth and love, will it be received at this time? Because just as we have truth and we have love doesn't mean that we speak it. We need to discern the right time to be able to speak that into the people around us. Are they the right words, carefully worded with a balance of truth and love? And it's not just this thing where we have like a truth sandwich. Do you know what I'm talking about? Sometimes we do that in emails, right? Where we say a really nice thing, and then we put in some really hard feedback, and then we say a really nice thing, right? That truth sandwich, where just because you put a nice thing at the beginning and the end doesn't mean that it's truth and love. Sometimes it's just truth sandwiched with, I don't know, something else. Empty words sometimes, right? But really to pause and to wonder, okay, is this speaking truth and love, or is this just truth with a fancy sandwich? Sometimes it's even an open-faced bun at a funeral, but the eggs are rotten. Because it's always egg salad at funerals, isn't it? Open-faced egg salad sandwiches. They're always a little bit of a risk, you got to admit, right? Anyway, okay. So have that truth and love that is there is around me, and calling others in, but using the right words, carefully worded. Is there love in this, or do I just want the truth with the appearance of love? And is this sometimes the right light? Sometimes we think we're speaking truth, and we think it might be God's truth, but we're not really taking the time to really carefully listen to God's message. That we're not sometimes testing our truth with Scripture, or testing our truth with, does this sound like Jesus? Does this sound like something that maybe God would value and be pleased with what I'm saying of calling this truth and bringing this forward? And so is it the right truth? Is it the right light that I'm bringing into the darkness in the right way, at the right time, with the right words? And is it the right posture? Sometimes we speak truth and it's a reaction. Speaking truth as a reaction is not always helpful. It doesn't always have the outcome that we hope for it to have. But to be able to speak truth as a response is a little bit different than a reaction, isn't it? Those two words, even though they both start with R, which means it's really good in a sermon, But a reaction is something where we're emotionally charged, and we're angry, or we're fearful, or we're frustrated, or we have anxiety. Whereas a response is, okay, here are the facts of truth. Here's how I sense God is speaking into this, and here are the words that He is giving me to be able to speak into this situation, and I'm going to respond to this darkness, respond to this lack of truth with truth. And then finally, and I've already talked about this, but fill it with love. Fill it with love. Sometimes when we speak truth into another person's life or into a community, it's not with love. It's not with love for that person or love for that community. But to check ourselves that am I reacting or am I responding in love towards this person, in love towards this group of people? And to really check ourselves to be able to know how we are responding. So there is the speaking into and exposing darkness, but there's also the aspect of embracing light, not just exposing darkness, but embracing light. And embracing the light in me means the moving away from sin, but also moving towards Jesus. But then also around me, helping and calling people to move away from that sin, from that darkness, and move towards the light, towards Jesus. And so remember that it's not just about calling out darkness, but it's also to embrace light. Not just exposing, but embracing and inviting. And it's a different view, isn't it? Because it is all about light. It's not about the darkness, because the darkness is already defeated because of Jesus. And because God is on the throne, but it is a different view because it is all about light. But that's really how it is with the mystery of God in our existence, isn't it? We don't have all of the answers or the details, but we just have enough to be able to say, okay, yeah, it's about light. And it's about Jesus. It's about embracing God within our lives, embracing the salvation we have in Jesus, embracing the power of the Holy Spirit within our lives. But it's really not all that clear all the time, isn't it? Because life is a little more complicated and messy. And seeking truth can sometimes be very difficult. But always remember that God is a God of light, and that is enough. And if we believe that God is a God of light and that is enough, then friends, it's about light. And it's about embracing and walking towards and shining light of Jesus around us and in us. Verse 15 says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. So here's that wisdom word. And wisdom is something that's really hard to have within our lives sometimes, isn't it? Because it's easy to pursue knowledge. We have access to all the information right now in our lives, in our phone. We can answer any question that comes at us. We can fact check even the pastor on Sunday. We can fact check the theological implications of the songs that we sing with just putting a few words in. And then you add, you know, ChatGPT and AI and everything. And it's just like it's knowledge on wildfire. And it's more than any of us can retain or process. Think about all of the things that you've forgotten that you didn't have Google to look up when you were younger. And the conversations that you would argue about, and you would have to defend your argument as opposed to just check Google. And so we have this access to knowledge. We have the pursuit of knowledge. And there's more and more knowledge that we can access and we can pursue, but it doesn't necessarily bring wisdom. Wisdom doesn't always come with knowledge. In fact, wisdom doesn't come with just knowledge. Knowledge is just pure information, unfiltered, unprocessed, and often without any sort of discernment or wisdom whatsoever. You can even gain knowledge on wisdom, but it doesn't mean you're going to be any wiser. Because wisdom is a combination of experience. You see, knowledge is not experience. If I know something that I've experienced, I know it that much more, right? Knowledge and good sense of application while understanding the complexities of life. So the application of that knowledge requires wisdom and understanding the complexities of life. That's when all of the knowledge just gets a little more confusing, doesn't it? Because there's a lot of complexities in our lives because we're human beings. I'm not sure how many people we have in this room, but I'm guessing it's a little over 40. So that means we have a little more than 40, probably more than 100, probably more than 300, probably 500 different views of what wisdom and knowledge look like, because we are who we are. And we're shaped by our experiences, be them good, bad, ugly, beautiful. All of the experiences that we go through, all of the trauma, all of the relationships, all of the pain, all of the celebration that we go through, all of the emotions that we have, even the indigestion that we experience from the bad breakfast we had this morning, all clouds our wisdom and our processing and our experience of knowledge. And so wisdom is something that is really hard to work towards. And in our lives, we have verses like Proverbs 16, verse 9, which guide us, but don't really guide us at all, where it says, in our hearts, we make our plans, but God guides our steps. Well, what's that? I just want to make decisions and move towards them. But no, God guides our steps. So that means I have enough wisdom to take one step. I have enough wisdom to say one word, maybe one sentence, maybe one paragraph. And then maybe a little more will come because God is guiding my steps. So wisdom is something that is really hard to work towards. And it's not even something that we achieve, but it's something that we receive. And sometimes it's through the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, where we have wisdom to be able to speak into situations and speak into people's lives and even have answers within our own lives. It's like, well, where did that come from? Well, that might be the Holy Spirit. But it also might be the Holy Spirit in combination with some of the experiences, some of the knowledge, some of the responses that I have within me that God has given me and prepared me for that moment. Because the thing is, we talk about wisdom, but wisdom comes out of some of the foolish things within our existence. 1 Corinthians 1:18-19 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate." And then skipping down to verse 27 of 1 Corinthians 1, it says, "But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong." You see, when it comes to the economy of Jesus and intelligence and wisdom, it's a bottom-up experience. Jesus invites us to have the faith of a child. That doesn't sound like a lot of wisdom, does it? And yet some of the most profound statements come out of the mouths of children when it comes to their faith in God. And it's humbling to us as adults who sometimes have such cynical mindsets. But sometimes we discount some of the foolish things, some of the things that don't seem wise is just plain unwise and foolish. And yet God's wisdom is found sometimes in the simplest of ideas, the simplest of statements with a pure heart. And so that's why I say wisdom is not necessarily something that we can pursue or achieve, but something oftentimes we receive. And it doesn't mean that we just sit there passively and don't pursue knowledge or don't pursue wisdom at all. But it means that we really find it as we receive it and we experience it from God. Because the story of Jesus feels a bit foolish when you think about it in the eyes of the world, if we just look at it from knowledge. And yet, if we look at it as human existence, as human history, as God creating us and us messing it up, and that Jesus' work on the cross was so necessary, that what seems foolish is actually the wisest and most amazing thing and the greatest story that was ever told and ever experienced on this earth. The Holy Spirit brings wisdom, brings help for us to experience things like inner peace and assurance of salvation, in a sense that this is not all that there is. And as messy as things are, it's going to be okay. Friends, that's the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. So we get through investing things like time. Wisdom leads us in how we use and spend our time. Now, for some of you, you have this wonderful thing in your life called discipline. And I admire you for having discipline in your life, where you wake up at the same time every morning, you maybe eat the same breakfast, or you have breakfast every morning, and you eat 3 square meals a day, and you spend time reading, and you do all the right things with your behavior. And I admire that. That is amazing. And keep it up if you live a disciplined life. That was never my thing. I live an intentional life where I'm kind of driven sometimes by spontaneity, sometimes by routine, but it's not discipline. It might even just be lack of creativity. Because I eat the same breakfast every morning. That's just because, like, hey, if I'm going to remember eating breakfast, I'm not going to decide what to eat. So I'm just going to eat the same thing. Right? But there's intentionality. And some of the intentionality is that I have a purpose behind what I do. And it might be that I am a little more spontaneous with how I spend my time, but intentional with how I spend my time, especially my time with God. And sometimes it might be for a while doing it first thing in the morning or mid-afternoon, or sometimes it'll be in the evening. But it's that intentionality. But whether you're disciplined or intentional or struggle with both, what God calls us into, and this is something where it sounds a little weird, a holy waste of time, a holy wasted time, which is the key to wisdom in Jesus. A holy waste of time. Now, what do I mean by that? Because spending time with Jesus is never a waste of time. And yet, when it comes to the foolishness of the world, or the wisdom of the world, for that matter, spending time with Jesus is not productive. Right? It doesn't make money. It doesn't do a lot for you in the eyes of the world, and yet the eyes of yourself and your relationship with God, it is everything. And that's why it is a holy waste of time. Where we spend time reading and studying and meditating on God's word, intentionally or disciplined. Where we spend time praying and all the postures of prayer, of adoration and intercessory prayer and all the postures of prayer that there are, whether it's disciplined or intentionality, spending time talking to God in relationship to God. And then also spending time just listening. Listening to Scripture, listening to God, listening to the world around you and what God is saying through the world around you or through other people, and just listening and being in tune with what's happening in you and around you. And then also by participating, which is also that call to action that God gives to us, of being on God's mission, of serving God by serving others, of working and struggling with some of the challenges that you have within your life and laying them at the foot of Jesus on the cross. But God calls us to invest time with Him, to be with Him. And as we do that, we gain in wisdom, but not buy into all of the distracted living that we have around us. Because now more than ever, of any generation that ever existed, there is a distraction that we have in work, relationships, friends, family, sports, leisure, comfort, fitness. And then we've got internet, social media. The interesting thing is social media, oftentimes, if we scroll it long enough, will tell us, hey, have you thought about putting me down and engaging with real people for a minute? Have you ever seen a post on that on social media? Maybe you're not on social media. Wow, you guys are amazing. You're so disciplined. I admire you. And there's studies by psychologists and psychiatrists and scientists of all the ramifications that exist with us just being so tied to technology all the time. And then being able to put our phone down once in a while and not look at it for a bit, to be able to be distracted and to have a holy waste of time with Jesus. And as we do this, we discern God's will within our lives, His will for us, but we also discern God's will for our community. God's will for me, God's will for us. What is His will? And as we take away some of those distractions and embrace God and focus on God, what happens is we gain that wisdom and that insight of discerning His will. So just a moment to talk about spirit versus spirits. So we're talking about the Holy Spirit, and then He's like, you know, there's the spirits of drunkenness, right? Where if you drive by one of the many, many liquor stores, it's like wine and spirits, cold beer, wine and spirits, right? Those spirits are, you know, that the dark or the deep alcohol that there is out there, and they all do the same thing. But there's an enjoyment that can happen where it's the social or the taste or the experiences sometimes that we can have with that in moderation. But when it gets out of moderation, and the thing is about alcohol, here's the advice that I have for you with alcohol when it comes to that. If you are in control of it, you might be okay. If at any point you're not in control, then you're in trouble and you need help. And so that's the thing that Paul talks about, is don't get drunk. Because when you're drunk and you have an impaired judgment, and sometimes when that occurs, we lessen our awareness of the Holy Spirit, which doesn't sound like wisdom, does it? And sometimes when we're less in control, we're less able to see the light of God within our lives, in us and around us. And so it's a dangerous thing to enter into. And it's something that we want to be people who follow Jesus with what we put into our bodies, follow Jesus with what we do within our lives. And so take that, those verses and how you interpret them. Because I know that there's some people in this room who would say, yeah, it's okay to have a drink once in a while. And other people would say, no, I don't touch this stuff. And both are okay. Both are okay. But be careful. Be careful with how you judge and be careful with how much you participate in, is what Paul is talking about here. So verse 19, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So speaking the truth in psalms and hymns, I have an idea for us when we're out in the lobby having coffee. Let's just speak in songs. How's that sound? And everything has to be poetic, like a psalm. How's it, are you with me? Could we do that? Could we participate in that? I'm just kidding. That'd be so weird. And that would just be so alienating for anyone who's here for the first time and our guests. Please don't do that. Because it's not a musical. Our lobby's not a musical. But anyways, it's something where the practice of the presence of God, I think, is important for us to recognize within our lives, where sometimes we just need to pause and pause from life and to be present with God and with others and to observe what is happening around us and respond. That is, there an action for me to take? And to understand that as we practice the presence of God within our lives, here's how it works. This happened to me just this morning. Last night we went out to a cafe and I had some tea and it was pretty strong tea. And I think it had probably more caffeine than a cup of coffee. I had a rough sleep last night. I think I got maybe 2 hours because I go to bed late. I get up early. That's just my Saturday night preparing for this morning. And I got up this morning and I was tired. Like, my eyes were scratchy. You know how that is? My eyes are scratchy. I still have good breath. And that's just how short the sleep was. And I felt so discouraged and I felt so weighed down by all of the things that are just, you know how you lay at night and you like go through every conversation that was awkward or everything wrong you said. And that was my night all night. And I woke up so discouraged this morning. I'm like, oh, I just need to get to my Devo time. I finished my shower, got dressed, went to work and had my Devo time and that cloud started to lift and I felt pretty good. And then I got a text from a friend and the friend said to me, David, just want to let you know, you came to my mind and I'm praying for you this morning. Friends, that's what happens when we practice the presence of the Holy Spirit within our lives, that someone comes to mind and we pray for them, but maybe even send an encouragement to them. Just want to let you know, I'm praying for you. And I know for me, I get that every once in a while. And I live in kind of a weird pastoral world, right? So people encourage that sort of thing. But I've never received an email or an encouragement note or an encouragement text saying, hey, I've been praying for you, and thought, oh, that's annoying. I've never thought that. Nobody's going to say you're annoying by saying, hey, I was just thinking about you, unless it's creepy. Don't be creepy. But when it's an encouragement to a friend, and it might be that they're going through a hard time. It might be just, hey, that's a nice little boost to something I've already been boosted in. Awesome. Thank you. Or it might mean a lot to them. This morning, it meant a lot to me. The cloud had already lifted, but it was just that extra boost for me to be able to say, oh, yeah, God is with me. Because it's not just my friend thinking about me. It's God saying, hey, people think about you. People are praying for you. I love you. I'm praying for you. Friends, that's what God is wanting to help us know within our lives and to encourage us to encourage others. Because there's a contrast between light and darkness in our lives and communities. And sometimes we just don't necessarily see it all the time. And as we live in the Holy Spirit, the darkness in and around us loses power and the light breaks in to get rid of that darkness. Because friends, where there is light, there is no darkness. And we have the light of God within us. And wherever we go, we shine that light. Friends, own it, live it, share it. So some questions for us to just reflect on today. First of all, what areas of my life need more light to shine on the darkness? We all have areas of our lives that we're holding on to, or just thoughts or parts of our lives that we're just not ready to let go. How can we let God shine that light into the darkness that exists within our lives? Secondly, what areas around me need more light? In your community, in your city, areas around you that need more light. Thirdly, how can I embrace more wisdom in my life? Not just knowledge, but wisdom. And it's that intentionality and discipline wherever you're leaning to gain more wisdom. Fourthly, how can I waste more time with God? Waste more time with God. It's not an excuse to not get stuff done. It's like, hey, I'm giving up chores so I can spend more time with God. That's not going to go over well. But figure out how to spend more time and waste more time with God. Number five, how can I practice the presence of God in my walk more? It's not just about experiencing Him and wasting more time with Him, but how can you practice His presence more? And finally, how can I be more aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit within my life, within me and around me, and respond to where He's leading me? Let's pray together. God, we thank You for these words that encourage us to be people who acknowledge that there is a light that is within us and around us, and to shine that light into the world, to expose the darkness that there is within us and around us, and Lord, that we can embrace that light and be people of light. So Lord, as we journey through this world with all of the things that are happening, Lord, that we would be focused on You, on Your light, and shine Your light in the world. Amen.